is Patrick Wall, and I am the informatics team lead at the Environmental Health Tracking Branch, and I really am happy to have all of you here today. I'm really the setup man for a group of highly skilled and interesting whiz bangs who you'll see following me. So I hope that we have an engaging session here. I know this is what an old friend of mine used to call TEGO time, T-E-G-O, and that stands for the eyes glaze over. So hopefully we won't have any TEGO in this session. So I'm going to give an overview of our project and our program and talk about the Environmental Public Health Tracking Network design principles, talk about the components of our network, and also have a quick slide on lessons learned. So the National Tracking Program was initiated in 2002, and its mission simply is to provide information from a nationwide network of integrated health and environmental data that drives actions to improve the health of communities. And that is a copy of our strategic plan on the left, which is available on our website. The goals of tracking, we have five of them, but I just want to focus on the very first one today. That is to build a sustainable National Environmental Health Tracking Network. And we have been working through the years on all of these goals, but most recently we have really, really been focused on this goal number one, and that has been my primary focus. Our strategy is built on stakeholder input and collaboration. It's a very participatory process that we've adopted to build the network. I was happy to hear Dr. Leonard today in the luncheon talk about the roles of communities of practice and collaborative work and open source work that he has planned for NICFI and Finn, and so I feel like that we actually fit quite well into that vision. In 2006, we funded a series of 17 grantees to implement statewide environmental public health tracking networks that will be a part of the national network. And they focus on activities related to content, information technology, communications, and coordination. This is a map of our current grantees. Before 2006, we had a grant cycle that involved capacity building for the tracking program. It involved pilot projects, and it involved testing the ideas and concepts of putting environmental information together with health information in a standardized way. And that grant ended in late 2005, and in 2006 we did another round of funding that is the implementation phase for the network. So what is the tracking network at a glance? Well, it's a web-based information system that exists at the three big levels, local, state, and national, and it serves the public, environmental public health agencies, healthcare providers, and researchers. Its functions are to provide nationally consistent data and measures, and I'll talk more about that, to describe and discover data, to allow for easy exchange of data, and to provide analysis tools and data management tools, and of course, inform and interact with the public. So the network goes live in 2008, and that, scarily enough, is this year. Our design principles have been to try and reuse existing software infrastructure. We really tried to avoid building things from scratch, reinventing the wheel. We want our network to have a metadata-rich data pool, and we also took the position that we would, rather than try and create new standards, we would adopt standards that already existed, and we got a lot of help from the folks at NICFI with that, and also actually across other parts of the government, and Gonzo will talk about our standards for metadata coming up. And we wanted to provide a flexible framework for the network. Again, we're trying to build this network at a national level and at state and local levels. And we recognize the fact that we could not enforce nor dictate really details of IT infrastructure, of standards to a certain level at the state. Everyone has their own environment they need to work in, that their state mandates, and we really tried to provide a framework for the network without putting further constraints on it. And we did adopt an iterative process that involves our partners, and we do see the network growing beyond what we'll have at the end of this year when we go live. We hope to get more states in. Indeed, in this room, we have a non-funded state who will be participating in the network from South Carolina. And so we're really excited to have those partners. And we want to grow the content that's on the network. So many of this flexible framework for the development and the planning for the network was done by a work group that was established very early on in the grant process. It's called the Standards and Network Development Work Group. And this is just one of several mandatory work groups that were written into the grant requirements. And you see the teams that exist here. We have teams and subgroups. The difference being that the teams are short-cycled. They have a finite goal, and they go away much quicker. We liken them to SWAT teams. And the subgroups last a little longer and have more ongoing projects. So this is a overview of the network architecture, and I'll be talking about some components of this, and so I wanted to highlight a few of them. Here's my mouse. They want me to use the mouse and not the laser pointer. The network is made up of primarily transport gateways that are used for the transportation of data across the network, and portals where these are basically the human-to-machine interface. You can view these as websites. This represents, we have state A over here with portals, their own grantee tracking data, and then a gateway connected in to the rest of the network. We also see partners in this. We have partner interfaces, for example, the EPA's Environmental Exchange Network. Is represented here as a partner interface to the tracking network. This sort of whole section up on the right-hand upper side represents the CDC piece of the tracking network pie. And you'll note that we have our own portals, and I'll talk more about those in just a second. And we also have national repositories and metadata registries. Now, there's a lot of talk about federated systems and distributed networks, and indeed, when we came up with our initial design and wishes for the tracking network, our vision was a very distributed system, but the times were not ready for us as far as the political and policy environment for building such a system at CDC. So we had to make a decision and had to do it this way where we suck in a lot of the data from our partners. So we were very excited when Dr. Leonard started at NICFI and started talking about more distributed systems. And we do plan on moving towards a more distributed system as the conditions merit and allow us to. So the data transport piece of the tracking network is the gateway, and we adopted the Finn messaging system to transport health data around the network. And this uses CDC's secure data network to provide the infrastructure for the data feeds that come into CDC. Additionally, the second part of this gateway concept is the EPA Exchange Network software. And this piece of software is used for exchanging data between parts of the network and the EPA's exchange network system. So I mentioned portals on the previous slide, and the tracking network has the portal and the gateway. And I'm just gonna go to the next slide here. We've talked about gateways enough, but there's the first portal that we have is a national portal, and portals are made up of a public side and a national public side and a national secure side. The national public portal is a place to disseminate information and provide policymakers and the public with integrated one-stop access to environmental and environmental health information. It is currently under development. This is a screenshot of our latest design for the homepage, and this design is very stable. We've done a lot of work earlier in the year with doing some market research to try and go out and interview members of the public. We had a contractor named User Insights who specialized in this area, but we went out and did some research on exactly how people would look for environmental health information on the web, and many of our design philosophies and goals came from the research that was done in this area. It was really helpful. The public, this is the public portal, and let me just go back here. You can see that basically we have three major buckets here, an environment section, a health effects section, and an info by location section. These clicking on each of these areas takes you to a landing page for that subject area. And then from there, this is the health effects landing page. From there, you can drill down into the subjects and topics that you're most interested in. This is the environments landing page. So one of the challenges we had with this was that in order to organize this content in a meaningful way and allow people to dig down into areas that they thought that they were going to be interested in, we found that the further you go down into that content organization, the further you go down into the website, the more siloed you become from the rest of the information that we're trying to bring together. Again, the tracking network is about breaking down silos that are developed between public health data and environmental data. And we found that as we designed this, as you step through these buckets, that we were actually building back up the silos. And so we had to think of a way to address that. And we did that by scattering information around in other areas of the pages that clearly link back to the buckets that you weren't in, to put it simply. Come on in. So this is probably where the real rubber meets the road here, and this is a view of where users will come to query data, to do dynamic queries of data, and see results either in maps, views, in maps, tables, or charts. And we are currently putting in the business rules and the back end pieces to make this work. And obviously, this is where the huge amount of IT development is going to occur, and we're looking to learn a few things from our folks from South Carolina who are really good at this stuff. So that was the public portal. Now onto the National Secure Portal. The National Secure Portal we see as supporting secure communication among and collaboration among the partners, and it integrates. Integrates health, exposure, hazard, and other data, just like the public site does. And it allows for sharing of methods, ideas, and tools. And it serves as sort of a drawing board for turning data into information. And this is, we are accomplishing this using a web intelligence product called Business Objects. And we actually saw other states using web intelligence products to drive their public health information systems. The one that comes to mind was Wisconsin. And they use a SaaS web intelligence product to drive their state system. So we went out and evaluated web intelligence products, the market leading ones, and we came back with a choice of Business Objects. And it really provides a large array of tools on a single platform for our secure users. It allows us to manage the data in a secure role-based environment. It is really terrific about integrating data. That's really its primary strength. It provides terrific analysis tools. Its forte is reporting and charting and mapping and linking things together. And it integrates well with Office products. It's standards compliant. As far as the ones that we looked at, we looked at Cognos, the SaaS product, and this one, and business objects, and open source product. This was the one that was most advanced on the technology standards. The other ones we felt like were a cycle behind and couldn't tell us when they were going to catch up. And also, they have a package. One great thing about this is they have a package of online learning tools called Knowledge Accelerator that allow you to easily customize an online training environment for your users. It's just a quick screenshot of how you would build a query. Over on the left, it looks very much like Outlook, I've been told. But over on the left, you find your categories of data and your objects. And you build your query just by simply dragging things over to the right and then applying any filters you would like and then running the query. This is the out-of-the-box interface. We plan to make some changes to that interface to add some functionality to it. This is the results of the query where you can edit the report to make it look as pretty as you might need it to be. Thank you. So I mentioned that we had a collaborative development process, and I mentioned the other work groups. And these are the other work groups, again, the standards and network development work group on the left. But I wanted to mention the program and marketing and outreach work group. They deal with outreach to data stewards and content messaging. And then probably many of you are sitting there wondering, OK, you told us how this network's going to work, but what in the world's on it? Well, we have worked with our grantees on this content work group to produce a suite of what we call nationally consistent data and measures. And they are roughly made up of topics from these areas: air, water, cancer, lead, birth defects, carbon monoxide poisoning, vital statistics, and hospitalizations for asthma and cardiovascular disorder. We also, I can't leave Alex out. Alex heads our portal and analysis and visualization team, which works across all these work groups. It's a cross-cutting work group. So the content work group worked tirelessly to make recommendations about what was going to be on the tracking network. And we call these, again, NCDMs. And they made these recommendations to identify and develop and pilot indicators and measures for the network. They provided the rationale, the data sources, the limitations, future directions. They even provided how-to guides on how they should be computed. And these were all shared across the grantees and resulted in the first wave of information coming into the tracking network, into the data repository this summer. They also provided the data to support measures. They provided recommendations on presentation and also public health messaging. So these are our current activities. We're finalizing the messaging. And by that, I don't mean FinMS messaging. I mean the public health messages that and other messages that will be displayed on the public portal. And We've actually, you know, it's part of a lesson learned, but I think we underestimated the complexity of how to catalog and manage those messages, because each different query is going to have its own limitations and business rules behind it, what level that can be displayed. You know, there's footnotes and caveats to how data can be used that the data stewards won't put on there. So I think we underestimated that a little bit, and we're now trying to sort of catch up and pull together some sort of system to manage these messages and link them directly into the portals. We're continuing to address issues on data access and disclosure and security. We're coordinating with our national partners regarding data access and use, and currently are negotiating data sharing agreements. And Alex is hurrying me up here. As I mentioned, we got data in this summer, and we are validating that data, going through a validation process. Our scientists and data experts are sifting through that and validating it. And we are currently establishing policies and procedures. And if any of you are familiar with the system certification and accreditation, you'll know what a hard road ahead we have on that. That's required by the federal government. Some of the lessons learned, I'll go through these real quick because I'm out of time. But we learned that XML is hard for non-IT professionals. XML is the standard transport medium for our data coming into the network, and we really did not do a very good job at educating our grantees about what it was going to take to get their data in an appropriate format and to make it fit into the schema that was agreed upon. We found that there's been a fine balance between functionality and usability. Existing tools may not be the best choice always. I point to business objects on this. My boss looked at business objects and says, I don't want to have to learn something new. So we're having to sort of struggle to do some interface changes to that to make it easier for folks to be able to use our secure portal. Understanding the difference between the public and secure user was a key element that we probably didn't pay enough attention to early enough on, and that put us behind slightly. And then this collaborative development, it takes a long time, but I don't have time for my story that I usually tell here, but it takes a long time. But in the end, it yields some really solid stakeholder buy-in. And I feel like that our grantees, and some of them are in the room and they're great, I feel like they have some ownership in this process. And I think that's really going to pay off in the long run. And finally, organizing broad information for the public is a challenge. And I mentioned it was really easy to rebuild silos that we were working very hard to take down. So that's all I have. I think Alex told me we're going to take questions for us all afterwards. So thank you very much. Let me turn it over to the next speaker. Yes.
Yeah, we're going to hold questions at the end because chances are that one of the presentations that follows may actually answer your questions, so they all kind of overlap. Our next presenter is Gonza Nambiolanda. Ms. Nambiolanda first started with the tracking program as a fellow through CDC's Office of Workforce and Career Development's Public Health Informatics Fellowship Program. That's a mouthful to say. Her fellowship was recently completed, and we were lucky enough to retain her services. Gonza played a lead role in the development of metadata for the tracking network, and we also lovingly call her the metadata queen. So, Gonza.